This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Members of the Durham School Board didn't mince words in a letter sent to the State Board of Education earlier this month. They said they could not in good conscience support a proposal to open a new charter school in Research Triangle Park. Research Triangle High School could become one of the first new charters since the General Assembly lifted legislation that limited the number of charter schools in the state. That's if it wins approval from the State Board of Education. Durham School Board members are worried that the charter school would deplete resources reserved for traditional public schools, and they say the location of Research Triangle High School will only contribute to the problem of segregation in schools. The City Council backed the school board's position in a vote last week. And Durham isn't the only school district where concerns over the growing number of charter schools are being raised. WUNC education reporter Dave DeWitt has been exploring the charter school debate. He joins us in the studio today to talk about how they're affecting education in North Carolina. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Isaac.
So last year, the North Carolina General Assembly lifted the cap on the number of charter schools allowed in the state. It had been at 100, I believe. Can you remind us why a cap was established and what lawmakers were thinking when they decided to do away with it?
Well, the cap was established essentially to sort of limit the spread of charter schools. This state has a very strong history of public education. Other states didn't, you know, they had a higher cap or didn't have a cap at all, and charter schools have grown there dramatically in some places. That hasn't happened in North Carolina. North Carolina has had a pretty strict lid on why that cap has been there. It got lifted essentially because political pressure changed, or the political leadership changed in the state legislature, but also President Obama's Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, started this race to the top grant competition. Mm-hmm. And as a part of that competition, a cap on charter schools wasn't really allowed, or it wasn't going to give you a very good chance at winning the grant. North Carolina then revamped its charter school rules. It revamped some other things, lifted that cap. The legislature, of course, lifted it officially with the vote. So it's always sort of an interesting political minefield around charter schools and that cap. But as you said, that cap is now lifted, and now there's some charter schools that are getting fast-tracked looking to start this fall.
And let's just back up for one moment and say exactly what a charter school is and isn't.
A charter school is a public school, but it's not a traditional public school in that it's usually smaller and has a very specific learning environment. Maybe that is project-based, or it's a STEM school that deals with science and math, or something else like that. They're usually started by nonprofits or for-profit companies. Not many for-profit companies in the state, although that number could grow, but they're very big in other parts of the country. They get their funding from the state on a per pupil basis. Now they don't get funding for transportation. They don't offer transportation. They don't have to offer transportation. Some do. They don't have to offer meals, although some do. So there are some important distinctions. They're usually they don't have some of the same rules, regulations that regular public schools have, and they also don't offer the same number of other things that a school might use. Services for students with special needs. Out-of-school type of activities, sports, band, that kind of thing. A lot of those things aren't found at some of these smaller charter schools.
And now, as you said, there are 9 charter schools that are slated for fast-track approval.
Right. The state school board is going to consider that on March 1st, the final vote. They've already gone through a committee process. They've gotten to this point. Of that number, they're all over the state, and they're all different types of schools as well, and probably the one that's getting the most attention statewide is the North Carolina Virtual School, which is proposed for Cabarrus County, north of Charlotte. That school would be the first virtual online school of its kind in this state, although there are many, many elsewhere in the country. It'd be run by a for-profit company called K-12. That company has been the subject of some investigations, one by the New York Times, that found that it's, as a for-profit company, it's great. As an educator of students, it might not be doing that well. But that is one of the 9 schools up, and it's getting a lot of attention because of the online aspect and because there's another sort of interesting wrinkle. And every charter school has an interesting wrinkle depending on what school district it's in. This one is that a lot of homeschool students traditionally choose an online school. If that's the case, right now there is no per pupil funding that goes with homeschool students in this state. It's not a voucher system in North Carolina. If those students do choose a virtual school, then they do get per pupil funding, or the school does. So these are students that the state doesn't currently pay to educate that they would then pay to educate. So that in an era of dwindling resources for public education, this is another occurrence where it would be splitting the pie even more.
And certainly that's one of the chief concerns of the Durham School Board in this Research Triangle High School that they are fighting against. Tell us a little bit about the City Council and the Durham School Board's objections based on, I guess, possibly taking money away from traditional public schools.
And that occurs whenever a charter school enters a community. And it doesn't matter if it's a big school district or a small school district. That charter school takes money from the traditional public schools and becomes a bit of a controversial entity in and of itself. It also draws families and students who are making an active choice. And parents and students who go through the process of making an active choice tend to be the parents who are most involved in their child's education. Those are the parents at a public school you don't want to lose. You want parents to be involved. It's parents that aren't involved and students that fall behind typically that stay at traditional public schools and don't look at charter school options as much. So that becomes an issue. But the per pupil funding, in particular in Durham, one of the things that the Durham Public Schools mentioned that is very true is that Durham has the highest market share, they call it, of students enrolled in charters. Now, there's more students in Durham Public Schools go to charter schools than in any other school district in the state. There are a lot of charter schools in Durham relative to other school districts in the state. And one more high school, Research Triangle High School, that would be located in Durham may draw some families and students, although its charter says it could draw from anywhere. They believe it would draw families, it would draw money, resources, and relationships with companies in Research Triangle Park that Durham Public Schools have worked very hard to cultivate.
And I gather that they're concerned that its location in Research Triangle Park could potentially also contribute to the diversity issue across the schools.
It could, and you don't ever know for sure, but this would not be a huge high school. And the Durham Public Schools also say that it would duplicate some of the academic programs that they have in place and are starting to get in place at places like Southern High School. Now, Research Triangle High School, we should point out, like I said, will draw from all over the triangle likely. There's some of their boards of directors have had experience doing this at a place called Raleigh Charter High School, which is one of the best high schools in the state and is a very difficult place to win the lottery to get in. And that's another element of this. Every charter school has a lottery, an open lottery. So even if you have a specific target student base you want to try to bring to your school, you really can only try to market to that group. But you have to take whoever wins the lottery. And Raleigh Charter High School, for instance, and this sort of speaks to the popularity of charter schools. A place like Raleigh Charter High School only takes about 10 to 13% or so of those who go through the lottery actually get a seat in the school.
Let's talk about the Chapel Hill Charter School that's proposed. Tell us about that.
It's the Howard and Lillian Lee Charter School. And Howard Lee is, a renowned figure not only in Chapel Hill but in this state. He was the first African-American mayor. A longtime legislator, and also was chair of the state school board. So this is an individual who's got a long history and a lot of relationships in Chapel Hill and elsewhere. This school, his daughter Angela is one of the members of the board of directors and has sort of led the charge to start this school. Their stated, reason for existence is to try and deal with the achievement gap in Chapel Hill schools, the gap in achievement between white students and African-American students specifically. That's something that Chapel Hill School District has fought hard, long and hard for years to try to deal with. They've made great progress in the recent couple of years. Chapel Hill Schools has a highest per pupil expenditures of any school district in the state. They've applied a lot of those resources to try and help students achieve at a higher level, especially those that come from low-income families. They've got a good track record of success. But the charter school boards of directors, or the folks on this charter school, believe that there may be some families who are looking for a bit of a different alternative and may seek this charter school option.
I gather that one of the concerns is that, say, this particular school is set to partner with a charter school management program. It's called National Heritage Academics, that they oversee the operation of more than 70 charter schools across the country. And there are some doubts about whether that organization has managed to close the achievement gap in some of its other schools.
That's right. This NHA runs five other schools in the state. And admittedly, none of those schools have as a stated goal to close the achievement gap. Mm. But, charter schools in general have shown to perform no better than public schools, and in many cases worse. In fact, 30-some percent, I think, of charter schools actually perform worse than the average, and only about, in the teens percentage, 17, I think, percent, perform better. So charter schools have a mixed record of academic achievement to begin with. So, and NHA is a for-profit company. that would run the school. The board of directors would manage, you know, would run the school. This company would manage the school. And the other issue with this school in particular is they want to open with about 400 students in elementary grades. Now, if they target African-American students and those students, you know, largely come from Chapel Hill, although their charter is open to districts all across the state as well, that takes a high percentage of African-American students out of the Chapel Hill schools and puts them in this school and would essentially resegregate the school if that becomes a largely African-American school and Chapel Hill would become, unfortunately, known as the white school district. It would be troublesome if you get into a school district which values diversity and public education to be segregated in that way.
And we've only got a minute left, but I do think that one of the most fascinating things about the charter school debate, particularly over this Chapel Hill school that you're describing, is the way that it seems to have scrambled kind of traditional alliances and battle lines in the fight over education and funding.
Well, it has. And in a place like Chapel Hill, which I just sort of said is, you know, very dedicated to public education and people care deeply about public education, you have people who have very different ideas on how to achieve that. And that's really at the heart of almost every argument over charter schools. You know, everybody claims to care for children, and you very rarely run into anybody in education who doesn't, who's, you know, doing it for other reasons. Everybody says they're doing what's best for children. They just have different ideas of what that means. And so, and for different kids, you know, that can mean different things for different kids. So there's no doubt that a school like a charter school will take a lot of money and a lot of resources in terms of parental involvement out of a school district. At a time when public schools are being funded at a lower level than ever. So the things that are being strained more than they ever have been, and you've got the pie being split in more ways.
Well, this issue certainly isn't going anywhere. I'm sure we'll talk more about it. Dave, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is WUNC's education reporter. Keep up with the stories he's following on Twitter and hear coverage at WUNC.org/news. This is The State of Things. Just ahead, a documentary film tracks the history of a mixed-race people. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.